Well, with just 4 days until the federal election, both major parties have sharpened their focus on young voters. The Coalition launched its new housing policy on Sunday, as we were discussing earlier with the Finance Minister, Matthias Cormann, promising to help first home buyers get a loan from the bank with as little as 5% of their deposit saved. The government's also kept the focus on mental health services, which surveys show is a top issue for many young Australians. Labor is matching those promises, and it's warning young Australians are getting a dud deal on the economy. Labor's also pushing for more action on climate change. We'll discuss the key issues facing young voters. I'm joined in the breakfast studio by Elmina Yoldic, who is a senior manager of Youth Transitions to Work at the Brotherhood of St. Lawrence. Amelia Morris is based in Melbourne. She's a student and a member of Origin's Youth Advisory Council. And Callum Pickering is an economist at the Indeed Hiring Lab and a former economist with the Reserve Bank. Elmina, Amelia, Callum, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Good morning.
Morning.
Amelia, let's start with you. You're the youngest on our panel today. You grew up in regional Victoria. You're a uni student. You live in Melbourne in the seat of Higgins. How engaged, how animated are you and your peers about this election?
So I think this election is definitely, young people are very engaged in it. I mean, we've seen that young voter enrolment is at an all-time high. I believe it's about 88%. So we definitely are engaged in it. I think it's been different to past elections in that in past elections, I think young people tend to engage with politics on an issues basis, and not as much in electoral politics. So it's really interesting to see the record number of young voters enrolled and engaging in this election.
Elmina, would you see it like that? What are your peers? How engaged are they?
Look, I think my own peer network would suggest that my friends haven't decided who they're going to vote for. And I think, coming up to Saturday, not knowing which way you're going to go opens the opportunity for actually not to put a vote down.
So. Can I put something to you? I heard just on the grapevine, so nothing scientific about it, but, a lot being made of the record numbers of younger voters enrolled at this election, but that they're so, disengaged or unhappy with the major parties, they don't see them as relevant to them, that a lot of them say they're just going to put in a donkey vote.
Look, I wouldn't be surprised. I think it's important that young people need to be able to see themselves in the policies that are coming out from government, particularly young people of disadvantage, where the Brotherhood really focuses on and works with those that are experiencing quite significant disadvantage. So it's really important that young people see that communities and governments are investing in their potential and their skills and can see themselves having a decent life. And I think that will ultimately help decide on the day who they vote for.
Callum, Bill Shorten has made a direct pitch to younger voters, telling them they're getting a dud deal, and he was talking about intergenerational theft in this campaign, referring to a range of policy areas, including tax concessions that the government has in place that Labor would unwind to some degree for property investors, and also, of course, the lack of action on climate change. What do you think? Do you think that young Australians see themselves as getting a dud deal on the economic front and the economic policies of the current government?
Look, I think that'd be a fair assessment of the situation for a number of younger voters. If you look back over the economy over the past, say, decade, it's been quite a difficult situation for many younger people. The unemployment rate amongst younger Australians remains elevated, 11.4% versus around 5% for the rest of the population. Underemployment is an issue. Many young people have been forced into part-time work that they're not particularly satisfied with. And then, of course, you've got other issues such as climate change being one of the more important ones, and obviously the housing issue as well. Many younger people feel as though they've been priced out of the housing market by tax incentives that they consider to be unfair. And at least at this point, it appears as though the ALP is willing to address some of those issues.
I'm going to come back to housing because obviously there was an offering from the Prime Minister on the weekend too. But Elmina, just to stay with what Callum was raising there in terms of employment and unemployment, the Brotherhood of St. Lawrence, where you work, released a report into youth unemployment in March. What was the major finding? Because the stats tell us that there's been an increase in full-time jobs, and the Prime Minister has been trumpeting that for young Australians. Is that an issue? Is underemployment an issue? What are the levels like?
We would say from our own practice on ground, coupled with our own research and the monitor that comes out twice a year, that there has been a significant increase in underemployment for young people alongside with the high rates of youth unemployment.
What does underemployment look like? Can you sort of give us a description from
a young
person. People you come across.
Sure. It's where a young person is deemed to be employed, but they only receive a minimum amount of hours, and they could maybe receive from 1 hour to 5 hours a week, which really doesn't even touch the surface around getting a decent wage to actually have a proper life, in a sense, and a happy life. So young people, particularly young people that need the extra work experience, are finding it a lot tougher.
What's the biggest challenge for young people trying to move from school or vocational training or university into a job? We know that the Coalition had the Pathways program. Mm-hmm. Now, that was quite controversial, but how's that working in practice? Have you had a look at that? And what is needed in your view?
So we know that all young people transitioning face extra challenges from school to work. So the Brotherhood spends a lot of its time really thinking about this and deep diving into what are those challenges that really look like. How do you move from quality education and really tap into the labour market? Now, we know the economy is changing, the labour market is changing, so therefore the roles and the jobs are changing. So how do we preparing young people to be able to actually see themselves in the current labour market and the labour market in the 5 years that's coming is really imperative. With that comes along, really strong work activities, work preparedness activities, where young people can actually get work experience, can get hands-on real-world opportunities in these industries.
And that's what Pathways was, for instance. Did that work?
Well, from the Brotherhood's perspective, we believe that work experience and actually having access to quality work experience is really key to actually transitioning and getting an understanding and exposure to different kind of jobs, to different kind of industries.
Amelia, you're younger and you're still at uni full time, so perhaps you haven't hit this yet, but what do you think and your peers think when you hear something like that, work experience needed, and this notion of living with underemployment?
Yeah, I think underemployment is definitely a huge issue. The casualisation of the workforce is really something that me and the people in my networks have experienced, that you might apply for a job and get, 1 to 3 hours a week. It's really, nothing. You can't live off that even as a student. And I think as well with the casualisation of the workforce, there's more and more jobs are being offered as casuals, but unfortunately it seems like, I guess anecdotally, employers aren't returning the favour of casualisation. They're treating us like casuals and taking the benefits of that, but we aren't able to express the rights that we have as casuals, like choosing when we work and choosing when to take time off and things like that. So I think underemployment and unemployment are definitely huge issues, even now when I'm still in university.
And Callum, as an economist, it has economic flow-ons for young people, because if you're underemployed or you're casually employed, it's hard to, for instance, get into the housing market. It's hard to develop those sorts of bank balances and credit ratings that you need to get on with life, doesn't it? Even education.
Exactly. A part-time or a good job throughout school and university and once you become a graduate is a key stepping stone in order to, save a deposit on a house and all those things that come with that. The fact that younger people are struggling to get into the labour market has flow-on effects for their future productivity, right? The generation of young people today enter the workforce when they finish university with less experience than their parents or grandparents might have had when they were coming through the system as well. And so that's just naturally going to have productivity impacts going forward as well.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 8:15. Our guests on this youth vote panel today, Elmina Yoldich is a Senior Manager of Youth Transitions to Work at the Brotherhood of St Lawrence. Amelia Morris is a Melbourne-based student and member of Origin's Youth Advisory Council, dealing with mental health issues. And Callum Pickering is an economist at the Indeed Hiring Lab, a former economist with the Reserve Bank. Let's go to housing before we come to the issue of one of the top issues when young people are surveyed, which is mental health. But just dealing with housing, because we've got these policies out there. A couple of you have touched on it. Elmina, house prices are coming down now in cities like Melbourne and Sydney, but we had the Anglicare rental affordability snapshot, which found that there's no affordable housing properties for a young person living off youth allowance or New Start in a capital city. If we can, that's clearly an issue, and affordable housing is a major problem. But what about policies like the Prime Minister announced on the weekend? Do you think that kind of policy, we've got Labor's negative gearing policies, we've got these competing ways of dealing, I suppose, with trying to make housing market more accessible for first home buyers? How do you see them?
I think as a young person or somebody in the market for a place, and I think particularly for younger people that are struggling, I think anything to help and aid a young person get into the housing market is a welcome measure. I do think being realistic about it, when you look at the house prices in Sydney and Melbourne, how much it costs to rent, let alone to actually buy a house, I think that's a long way off, considering that we know, like we've just talked about, the labour market is changing, the entry point job for a young person is also changing. So to actually get to a point where they've saved enough money to be able to have the 5% deposit, I think that's a long way off, and I think there's a bit more work to be done.
So what's the answer then for trying to get young people being able to afford houses in our major capital cities?
I think there's no silver bullet to youth unemployment. And there needs to be a coordinated response from training and education, from employment services, for actually working with employers to open up opportunities for young people. And we have great examples of that on ground as well, where employers have come to the party and sit around the table with us on ground to really tap into their own networks and building up the network and address book of the young person, really to then be able to step into a job. The best way to have a decent life is to be able to participate in community and in the economy. And what I mean by participating is to have a full-time job.
And the best way to be secure and to have mental stability, good mental health too, Amelia, is to, yes, have either engagement, whether it's studying or a job, and housing, stable housing. How important is stable housing to the young people that you're in contact with through Origin? And do you think, have you had a look at what both parties, major parties, are offering in terms of social housing or affordable housing?
Yeah, I think housing has a huge interaction with mental health. I mean, when you look at the prevalence of mental health among people who are homeless, I think having stable housing is really important to being able to get back up on your feet. I think it's definitely something that has a huge interaction with mental health.
Callum, have you had a look at the major government's housing policies, not just affordable housing, but, you know, the negative gearing, this new policy unveiled by Scott Morrison over the weekend, which Labor has matched, which is, you know, some kind of mortgage guarantee scheme. Are they going to make the difference, do you believe?
Look, I don't know whether they're the silver bullet, but they're certainly going to have an impact to some degree on issues of affordability and also helping younger people to get into the housing market. The removing negative gearing and reducing the capital gains tax discount are certainly two measures that could very well reduce house prices even below where they currently are. Both of those policies have certainly had a big impact on the way up for house prices, so presumably removing them could have an impact on the way down. The policy announced by Scott Morrison over the weekend is an interesting one. It's a relatively small policy. It's only going to affect around 10,000 first home buyers.
It's capped at 10,000 initially, yeah. The Prime Minister said that could be extended if it works.
Yeah, and just to put that into perspective, last year there was 112,000 first home buyer loan approvals.
Is it your experience, Callum, with your friends and your peers and people you come across, and let me ask Elmina this too, whether younger Australians are clued in on those policies, that they understand what is being talked about, what Labor is offering with changes in negative gearing, for instance? Callum?
I'm probably in a bit of a weird situation where many of my friends are economists,
so we
pay a little bit more attention to these policies than the average person. I think overall, though, I would say that this space is quite complicated. There's been, you know, a number of schemes that have sort of come up over the years that haven't really been utilised particularly well, and that suggests that there might be some confusion amongst many younger Australians out there about what they can do and how these policies impact them.
Elmina, what do you think?
I would agree that I think it's a complex space. It's not a very easily a space to navigate, to understand, you know, if you're buying a new home, where these first home buyers grants are, who do you speak to, how do I get proper advice to where to go? So I think, again, coming back to who you're surrounded, what your networks are, is really critical. Again, whilst there's good policy measures, it's about your networks and who you can go for support and advice.
It's a stressful world we live in currently, and you've been talking about some of those stresses here on this panel this morning. Underemployment is a major one. Lack of affordable housing is another one. Amelia, let's talk about the mental well-being of young Australians, because Mission Australia's youth survey last year of almost 30,000 15 to 19-year-olds found mental health was the top priority in every state and territory. The rate of young people identifying mental health as a key national issue has doubled since 2016. Why are we seeing that?
Look, I think there's definitely an increasing awareness about mental health and I guess its prevalence in our society. I think one in four young people experience mental illness, and beyond that is the people that are touched by young people who have those experiences, their family, their friends, the healthcare professionals that look after them. And I think it's also mental health interacts with every area of your life. You know, every area of your life touches your mental health, and your mental health influences every area of your life. So I can definitely see why it's such a huge concern.
The Prime Minister has said that the mental health of young Australians is his number one priority, and they added $737 million for mental health in the last budget, including $370 million to expand youth mental health services, including an extra number of headspaces. Labor has almost matched that, I think. It's promising $200 million also to build three new Headspace Plus centres. From your position involved with Origin, Amelia, are they the right policies? Are we on the right track?
Look, I think any commitment to increasing mental health services is a good one. At the moment, it's such an awful situation that there's just not enough for all the young people who do need help out there. However, I do think that there's a whole lot more that could be done, especially for this area we call the missing middle.
So What's the missing middle?
So it's this gap between primary care, so Headspace, GP, and the emergency room or hospital. There's a very much, I guess, a vast wasteland of just no services, no help for people that are maybe more complex than Headspace or your GP can help.
Can you just explain that a little? Are you saying you can get some basic help even at a Headspace, but then you'd have to be incredibly very sick to be able to get into a psych ward? Is that the issue?
Yeah, that's pretty much the issue. So there is a large number of young people who I guess are maybe experiencing more severe depression or anxiety, or borderline, schizophrenia, bipolar, those kind of more severe disorders. But they aren't, I guess, quite serious enough for a hospital or a psychiatric ward, or a hospital or a psychiatric ward won't work for them for whatever reason. So I think the Headspace Pluses kind of go to that issue. But there's still only three centres, and there's a huge amount of young people in Australia. So I think that there's definitely more that could be done, especially for that kind of empty gap of services in between Headspace and your emergency room.
Amelia, let me just ask you finally, I know your area is work, but is mental health an issue that you've come across through your contact with young people and employment?
Absolutely. We work with some of the most marginalised young people that have experienced a lot of disadvantage in their life. And you think about all the challenges that we've talked about, accessing jobs or not having enough money to support you to actually have a decent life, you'll have anxiety and a whole heap of mental health issues that creep up on you. And you kind of, great that Amelia's pointed out this accessibility issue around in particular mental health measures that are in community. But I think, you know, the rising prospect of unemployment that's sticking around, this idea that you have to apply for so many jobs, but also looking at other things where, you know, transport is a huge issue and you can't get to a job interview, then of course you're going to be stressed. You're going to be actually really worried about your life. So if young people aren't able to participate meaningfully in the economy, you'll find that they're worried, because young people want to work. They want to be happy. They want to actually succeed, no matter what young person we talk about. So I think ultimately, if young people can't see themselves in the economy and they can't actually participate, we are actually, you know, potentially harming them further by not letting them actually be full participants of the world that we live in.
It does seem to be an issue that has maybe crept up in the country, but our major parties are at least focusing on 30 new Headspace centres announced by the government in the last election, and also 8 mental health centres, which are like specialist mental health centres, and Labor's matching the Headspace promise, and it's also promising 3 of those Headspace Pluses that Amelia was telling us about. Elmina, Amelia, Callum, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Elmina Yoldich is a Senior Manager of Youth Transitions to Work at the Brotherhood of St Lawrence. Amelia Morris is a Melbourne-based student and member of Origin's Youth Advisory Council. And Callum Pickering is an economist at the Indeed Hiring Lab and a former economist with the Reserve Bank. And the battle of the ages, this demographic battle, intergenerational battle, that's how certainly how Bill Shorten's positioned it. Seems as though it may be making some impact given the last-minute promise from the Prime Minister in terms of trying to get affordable housing for first home buyers on the weekend. So it certainly seems to be an issue that's front and centre in this campaign. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 8:25.